Good morning. The first reading today comes from the part of the story of the Exodus, in which the people of Israel find themselves hungry in the desert, having been released from slavery in Egypt, but lost in the desert. They start to complain against their leadership. Moses takes it up with God, and God responds with manna, their daily bread. But there are rules about manna. Take only what you need. Do not accumulate. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there, on the surface of the wilderness, was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as the frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it left over until morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it as much as they needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Our gospel reading is part of the much-taught story Jesus told of the king separating the sheep from the goats, and is seen by many as the most important mission statement of the church. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
When a poor one, and you can remain seated for this.
We know where God's going.
you join me in prayer? O God, who walks this road with us, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Danny came in to the church last Friday, in out of the rain. He was dressed in full-on rain gear. First time I'd ever met him. Out of work and out of money, he had let a friend stay over for a few days, and that meant he was also out of food. Adrienne, trying to get off drugs and still not able to pull together a regular working life, just has a hard time making it to the end of the month on income assistance. Marcel lives with mental illness, which means it's difficult to maintain a kind of a regular schedule of life. Time just doesn't work the same for him as it does for so many of us. He comes in perhaps a little bit more regularly than the food cupboard can sustain, but that's okay, because it gives us a time and an opportunity to connect so that we are in his life and he is in ours. It is probably on average a daily experience that people come in off the street looking for food. And I'm so grateful to this community that you are so faithful in filling that cupboard with food. I know it comes and goes, it ebbs and flows, but it makes a daily difference. When we pray with others, give us this day our daily bread, that cupboard is daily bread. And most recently, someone in the wider community who drives by Northwood every day on her way to work and occasionally stops in at Starbucks and happened to do that at the end of the day just as they were gathering their overpriced goodies to put in the garbage. Something in her said, that's not okay. And she said to them, can you just give me those and I will give them to people who are hungry? And in a moment of kind of free-form generosity, this Starbucks person said, sure. And ever since then, for the last 3 or 4 months, this woman has showed up at our door twice a week, and put food in our freezer so that we can add that to the mix. It is pretty nice. If you're used to the cheapest possible thing in order to get through, to end up with a pumpkin scone every once in a while. From its very beginning, the church has been involved in food distribution. And when I say its very beginning, I'm talking about Jesus. Actually, it goes back before that, but let's just start there. It's always been what we do. It's always been who we are. If this table has meaning, it has that meaning. We are about sustenance. And it's God's sustenance for us all. Rooted in what I call the manna ethic. Did you catch the ethics within that Exodus story there? They're complaining because they are hungry and they're given food, but there's rules around that food, and the rules are no hoarding. That's a practical reality if you're talking about perishable food in the desert. It's also an elegant metaphor. No hoarding. That's one of the parts of the manna ethic. The other part is you take what you need you receive what you need. Everyone receives what they need. That's not to say that this is equality. Everybody does not need the same thing. So all the kind of tight little boxes of fairness that we create may not apply. It's about what people need. That's the manna ethic that our life rests upon. It also rests upon a belief that anyone we encounter ought to be treated as if they are the Christ. Whenever you do this for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do it for me. Every act of food distribution is a sacred act of encountering God. We are involved in food distribution. We feed people. It's who we are, and it's a spiritual thing. However, how often have you been approached by somebody on the street and asked for help so that they can buy themselves something to eat? How often has that happened for you? Probably quite frequently. This too is food distribution. And I want you to think for a second how it feels. How that encounter feels to you. If you're like me, when that happens, in the blink of an eye, I'm flooded with all kinds of questions. What has led this person to need this and to live this way? What's behind this? I wonder where they live. Will this coin actually go for food, or will it go for something that is far less nourishing? And there's something deeply unsatisfying about handing over coin to a person that you know in your heart of hearts, this will provide a momentary relief to a far greater hunger. That's a band-aid. You know that you're just dealing in band-aids. And that's not very satisfying. So this food thing, our call is a complicated call. We're called to offer sustenance to those who need it. And at the same time, we're called to work for a world in which there isn't anybody out there who needs it. It's a complicated call because when you feed someone, you are adding another thread to the fabric of our society, which has increasingly rich few and increasingly poor many. And we're participating in that fabric. Feeding the hungry is a deeply personal, spiritual act. And it has political implications. It's about caritas, where charity comes from. It's about caritas, which means love. Sisterly, brotherly love. But it's also about justice. And it affects the fabric of justice in our society. It's about compassion, and it's political. Bishop Dom Helder Camero from Brazil once said, "When I feed the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor are hungry, they call me a communist." The business of food distribution is political. I find myself constantly of two minds when it comes to food banks. Just as an example, I believe that they're necessary in this moment, and I'm grateful for the communities that gather to make them possible, because they provide real help for people with real needs. And I don't believe in them from a political standpoint, because In this day and age, when there is enough for everyone, the fact that there are people in chronic need of food for themselves and for their children is a damning indictment of our society's social safety net and our economic system. As long as there are food banks, those who have can feel good about helping those who don't, without having to make any changes to the system that creates poverty. I told you it was a complicated call. So here we are. Here we are in the business of food and food distribution and feeding people, engaged in a complicated mix of charity, community, compassion, justice. And I wanted to just take a moment. I've talked to a number of people this week who are engaged on the ground in our food ministries. And I've asked two of them, Christine and Rod, to just come forward and describe the ministry that they're involved in. And I'm going to just ask you to come and stand with me up here. Start, Christine. So what is it that you do?
I help organize some volunteers to come in and serve and cook and serve a meal at the Hub, which is at the site of the old Oak Avenue United Church, the new Amazing Grace United Church. And it's a group of people that come together and, like I said, cook and prepare a nutritious meal served on real dishes with real utensils and served up with a lot of love and care to all kinds of folks from the community. Some people coming out of transition housing, some seniors, we have young families, some low-income families, we have new Canadians, all kinds of people come and they are welcomed, and we want to fulfill the need of, we want to serve, we want to share hospitality, we want to know, to share that the love of Christ with our community, just as our mission statement says.
And so how does it feel to do that when you're doing it?
It feels great. This whole, all the music and all this, the welcome and everything this morning has really spoken to my heart. And I have to say that it feels wonderful, like, to try and to develop and have a servant's heart. It's not easy. And I find that when I put myself out there and try my best to serve and to be compassionate and to share with others, God has a chance to work on me, and I just feel like, it's hard to describe. It's joyful, but it's sad sometimes, but it feels good. I don't know how to describe it, actually.
That was a wonderful description. Thanks, Christy. Rod, what are you doing these days?
What we do is, we actually call it a hot lunch program, and once a month, we go out on a Saturday. We actually start here in the church. We cook either stew or chili, and then we put that in the back of my truck, and we drive to parts of Surrey where there are homeless, and it's basically between 104th, 108th Avenue, and just west of King George Highway. It's where the SkyTrain is in there, and we drive around, and people who are on the street. Workers, we feed them. We drive around for a while, and then we always end up at the front room, which is front room. And that's people do have accommodation there, but they don't necessarily get many meals there. So we park out front there, and people line up, and we give them stew, bread, bananas, apples, bottled water, coffee, milk. They really like milk because they don't get milk anywhere else. And we've been handing out Starbucks pastries. And last time we did it, Clayton, who's 6 or 7, I guess something about that age, he sat in the back of the box of the truck, and all our clients came around, got some food, and they went to him, and he handed out pastries, and they just loved it. So that's what we do. Incredible. It's just... You know you're doing the right thing. You just feel good, and there's a lot of, you get a lot of God bless you, and that that really means a lot. And you know, when you're packing up, you've fed the meals, and you're driving home, you think, yep, this is the right thing to do. So, and I get so much more out of it than the homeless do.
So, do you ever ask yourself, do you ever step back and think, so why is it that I have to be doing this? Do you ever ask yourself that? Do you? And what do you think about that?
It isn't fair. I feel very grateful for everything I have, and I have so much stuff that I really don't deserve, didn't earn. I just have so much, and other people who deserve just as much as I do don't, and it's just not fair. And our system is broken, like you say. People can't survive on disability, and people come from all different places, and it's just not fair.
It does, but it doesn't bother me too much. You kind of get over it. You know what I mean? Like, if you dwell on that too much, then you don't do anything. And I want to do something. So I think about it a bit, and then I just carry on and do it. And I do see improvements. I don't see nearly as many homeless under tarps and in tents than I did see maybe a couple of years ago. So I see improvements there, and I'm not sure, but I think it's maybe because there's buildings being bought up downtown Vancouver and people are staying there, but I'm not really sure what it is. I just know something's better, so there's not as many people like on the street, but there's still lots of homeless living in accommodation. So.
Well, thank you both for what you do, for the wholehearted of what you offer, and for the witness that you give to us, to this ministry. Thanks for that.
I guess I believe that there's a great work at work, of which any one of us is a small part of that great work. The small but profound work of compassionately offering relief to someone in need fills a deep need. And it may feel small, but it's significant. In the context of everyone bearing the image of God, but it is in the context of a great work, a work for a world where everyone is treated with justice, not just compassion, not just charity, but justice. And perhaps that charity is no longer needed because justice flows down like water and everyone has a place at the table. That is our dream. Amen.